Welcome to Myrtle Moms with Margaritas, the show where we sip cool drinks, talk about hot topics, and certainly don't take ourselves too seriously. Grab your favorite beverage, give your children the iPad, and take a break, because this episode, we're learning about being a mom on the theater stage. I'm Jen, Colton and Nolan's mom.
I'm Shannon, Gabriel and Grayson's mom. And we have a really exciting guest. We've already started talking with her a little bit, and I know we have some
fun things. I feel like we're warmed up, right?
I know, right? We have some fun things going on, but I think we want to go ahead and get to our lovely guest here today. Is Christine O'Reilly Cox. She grew up in Greenwood, South Carolina, where her love of theater and music began. She won the title of the South Carolina Junior Miss and a full scholarship to Troy University, receiving a degree in drama and vocal piano performance. She went on to perform at Walt Disney World with Voices of Liberty and then on a few cruise lines as a show singer, cabaret artist, and later as an associate director. She is married to a fellow cast member, Jason Cox, with the Alabama Theater. They have two teenage boys, Riley and Brady, and we were learning a little bit about the boys, and we get to hear some more about them. But please welcome Christine.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for being here.
We've been chatting a while already, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. There's going to be an audience. There's going to be listeners.
No, that is correct.
Yes. Well, we're just excited to have a fellow boy mom
boy
in the room.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes.
Lots of stories, maybe best off air, but lots of good stories from houses full of boys.
I was going to say, it sounds like it never changes, though, that
never.
They're little in our hearts forever. And even when they grow up, they're still our little boys, huh?
And there is still such I love the connection, though. You know, you know, boys and their mamas, like, that is something that's special. And my friends who have, you know, boys and girls, they'll say that too. They're, you know, not that one is, you know, better than the other, but it's just definitely different, that connection that, you know, moms have with their boys. So
do your boys still, like, actually want hugs?
They do. My oldest one never was very huggy, so he was always the one. You know, I'm very physically affectionate, so he'd be like, "Well, get down," like when I would like try to suffocate him when he was little. But the youngest one, Brady, he is very, very, you know, touchy and squeezy, and wants to give hugs, and he still wants me to cuddle when I will wake him up in the morning, and then we have to have like 10 minutes of cuddle time as he's waking up.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, so that never ends.
The true baby then in the family.
So, but I have a dog, so whatever affection I don't get to give on the oldest one, I now pass on to the dog.
There you go. That's smart. Well, you have a very entailing bio. I was reading a lot of the many things that you've accomplished.
And as you were reading it, I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I just got from the theater website, and I haven't read it, you know,
in a while, probably.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the different performances you've done throughout your career, is there any particular performance that stands out that's your most
favorite? Oh, gosh, so many. You know, I feel like with the performances, what was happening around me at the time kind of influences my memories of that, you know, particular situation. And the Voices of Liberty was the first, like, job I had where it wasn't gigging, because I did, like, bands in college. I got paid to sing for the first time in 1993. So that tells you how old I am. And this is my 30th year of singing professionally. So I've
That's
pretty much...
Wonderful.
Congratulations!
Yes. Run the gamut. Thank you. Yes. Run the gamut of different things that you can do, whether it's, you know, band, you know, wedding singer, review shows like I'm doing now. And so the Voices of Liberty was my first time ever getting a regular paycheck that wasn't like, I mean, like the stuff I did in college, I think we were paid in cheeseburgers and beer, maybe, if I was lucky.
Yeah, you know.
But so that was just like, that was one of those where I woke up every morning and go, oh my gosh, I get to go to work today. Like,
and that was inside Disney World?
It's the American Adventure Pavilion at Epcot.
Oh,
so we
okay.
were in the rotunda, which is designed for acapella singing. It was amazing. And everybody there, the musicianship of those singers was just incredible. While we were on our set breaks, they'd all be like charting music and, you know, arranging things. And they had like, you know, lots of side hustles where they had choirs or choruses, or they were working on their masters, or, you know, whatever. So just how much I learned in that short amount of time, because I was in the Christmas cast in 1997. So that short, you know, amount of time was just like so explosive for, you know, things that would benefit me and connections that would, you know, grow me later on down the road. So that was really, really wonderful. While I was in Orlando and I was, you know, planning to go back and start rehearsal in April for Voices, and then I got cast on a cruise ship job, and then that was it. I met Jason, my husband, on my second contract ever, and then from then on, we just decided whatever we do, we try to work together, and that kind of determined
the next way.
7 years of our life. Yeah,
wow.
We traveled and sang together for 7 years.
That's amazing. I love my husband dearly, but I could not work with him.
You know, it's so funny because people say that, but we actually get along better when we're around each other a lot. When we are apart, mm-hmm. then that's when we get yeah. It's just the opposite of what you would think, but we're so close, you know, like when we were on, you know, cruise ships, because we got married and went back, you know, and did another like ship or two before we realized like we need to plant some roots. But so we lived in a cabin that was smaller than the room we're sitting in now. So it's as wide as a twin bed is long.
Y'all really love each other. Yeah.
And so, like some of the older ships, like the toilet is in the shower.
Oh my goodness.
You talk about privacy. There's zero. You know, none. Or, I mean, and you know, before we started dating, we were, you know, neighbors, but we were literally like a, you know, knock on the wall away. Hey, where do you want to go today? Today we're in Greece. Let's go back to that one little, you know. Wow. So it was good. It was bad. It wasn't real world, you know. Yeah, it wasn't real life. So we got here and we're like, mortgage? What?
What's that? Yeah, exactly.
And now I'm like, why didn't I buy real estate? I lived expense free and I have nothing to show for it.
Well, did you come to Myrtle Beach for the Alabama Theater?
We did. We said the first place that one of us gets a job on land, that's where we go. Whether it was Branson, Vegas, New York. I mean, we moved to New York and lived there in the first audition season after September 11th. So they were having none of us.
Yeah.
Everybody was out of work. I had a friend who was a server at Olive Garden in Times Square. Mm-hmm. He was like, there are 13 people in my cast who have multiple Broadway credits. Everyone's waiting tables now. So we got jobs there, but they all took us, you know, they took us back on other cruise ships. So I'm actually part of the Actors Equity Labor, you know, it's the performers union and he's not. So we couldn't have ever worked together except on cruise ships where there's no jurisdiction if it's not what's called a book show. So if there's not a script, like an actual musical or something like that. So what we do is like a review show. So there's no equity, doesn't have any bearing on shows like that. So those were really the only things that we could have done together. We're like, well, we work together or
not.
Not at all. So
well, you would never see each other if you didn't work together.
Oh,
probably.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And I would have, you know, found something else to do eventually. But so we said, you know, and we actually, I got hired here first to come here in 2000, and I was hired in 2001, I think, to come in 2002. And the day I got offered the job was the day I got our apartment keys in the mail to move to New York City. So I was like, oh, I can't go. I really, really just got to check this one off the list. And so we stayed long enough to blow through all of our life savings. That's why I have nothing to show. Gosh, if I'd just bought real estate instead of moving to New York.
Right?
No, but it was a great experience and, you know, another great learning experience. And so so I knew that I was on the to-be high. You know, there's not a lot of turnover in these jobs because there's very, you know, few places in the country where you can have a gig like this that
absolutely
is so steady where you can have a family. You don't have to be on the road. You're not on a tour. You're not in a season of, oh, the show shut down and now I'm out of work for, you know, 3 months. So if you want to have some kind of stability, then that's the... You know, that's really the only way to go. Okay, I was kind of on the to-be-hired list, and then we got the call that there was an opening for a male singer. So we moved here, and that was 2005, and then there was someone who ended up leaving that year, so I filled in for her. Someone left the next year, and then I kind of just,
It was fate.
It was.
It was fate. It was God, whatever you want to call it. It was meant to be. So we started here 2005, and then I got pregnant in 2006. We're like, let's time to start a family. Huh? We're not getting any younger.
Well, and it's also bringing you back to South Carolina, where you're from.
Exactly.
From,
I was hoping. I didn't actually know the Alabama Theater existed because I hadn't been to Myrtle Beach in so long.
Yeah.
So I knew of a couple other theaters, but I knew that there was that kind of atmosphere here. So I was excited to come back. And that's been amazing because, you know, I'm about 4 hours away from my family. Mm-hmm. So they've been able to, you know,
come
take
and
part
visit
in
and
our lives and, you know, see them on a day off or a weekend off. So that's been amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been very blessed.
That's wonderful.
And your love for the theater and singing and all of that started at a young age, yes?
Very much so, yeah. I actually was too shy to sing in front of anybody, so I started off playing the piano.
Okay.
And so studied classical piano, which was a great foundation for a career in music because, you know, I was able to read music and just understand some things that you don't necessarily need to know as a singer. And then I wasn't in chorus either. I played the trumpet in the band.
Oh!
So you have referred on my bio to the what's now called Distinguished Young Woman. It was South Carolina's Junior Miss program. So I was I got talked into doing that competition, and I was going to play the piano, but I couldn't find music that cut to the time frame. And then I was like, oh, I'll play the trumpet and I'll sing Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy or something like that. And that didn't work out either. So I ended up like, so that was the first time that I ever sang in front of anybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I sang in church, but like in a group where no one could hear me and I was way too shy. So that really was a pivotal point in my growth just because it brought me out of my shell. And there's no way that I can do what I do now with that, you know, being in front of people and having a comfort level with that because I was just so, so painfully shy.
That you would never know that to this day. Yeah. I mean, you're so engaging and we have seen you perform.
Something that I got over. So there was one like little piece of me that I never kind of brought back into adulthood. And that was the piano. Like I eventually stopped playing because stage fright. I was crippled by stage fright.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And our music director knew that I played because he had heard me just in the green room, like plunking out a harmony part or, learning a new part. And I'm like, but that's very different than playing in front of people. So he said, you're going to play the piano this year. And I'm like, excuse me, what? No. No, I'm not.
Sometimes we don't do that.
But it's always been something that's like been on the bucket list. Yeah. So I'm like, I just need to rip off the Band-Aid. So it's actually the song, I think I sang it that night, song Beautiful and Girl Power. That Allison normally sings that song and I play the piano. So the first couple times, I mean, it was sweaty palms and shaky hands. But I'm like, you know what? I need to tell the little girl that the grown-up Chris isn't scared of this anymore. I'm not scared to be in front of people anymore. So that kind of, you know, I'm like, all right, I can check that off the bucket list.
Yeah, and you know, you need to challenge yourself every once in a while.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Life's no fun if you don't challenge yourself.
That's the truth.
People, they're like, wow, what else is new? I was like, well, trying to part my hair in the middle every now and then.
Hey, baby steps, you know?
That's a fear I'm trying to get through, too. I'm with you.
Amen.
That side part.
No, my forehead's way too big. I can't do that. But every now and then I'll be like, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm like, this is the year of growth for me.
Love it. Well, some of the things that you're just saying, I mean, as a mom, you want to be able to show your boys and just, you know, don't be afraid.
Absolutely.
We got to just
conquer. I can't tell them to get over their fears if they're not watching me get over my fears. Yeah. So that was really important. Now they're like, oh my gosh, here she goes again. Because they were be practicing over and over again. They hear the couple chords and I'm like, oh,
Do your boys play any music or enjoy singing?
They plunk things on the piano. It's not like, they've not studied. I've asked them, can I give you lessons? Can we study together? But they're both love to sing. They love to perform.
Okay.
So they're both in chorus, and the oldest one is in musicals at his high school, and he's actually in Mamma Mia, which next weekend.
I've been seeing the previews.
He's in Mamma Mia, so we don't see much of him right now because he finishes rehearsal as we're leaving for work. Right now it's a tough schedule, so I'm like, I'm glad.
Will this be the first time that you're seeing him on stage as...
He was, he did, when he was middle school, of course, there was a chunk of time when he could have been doing things where everything was shut down. So, he missed out on, I don't know if it was good or bad, some really, important forming years. Mm-hmm. But middle school sucks generally. So he was, exempt from some of those things. But he did the Chief Idol contest.
Okay. Mm.
And he sang Sherry from Frankie Valli, which not a lot of, at the time, I think he was 13. Not a lot of 13-year-olds know Frankie Valli, but it was in our show.
Okay.
And they come to the show so often. So he sang, Sherry, and just brought the house down. So he won the whole thing. And
good for him.
Actually, they nicknamed him, Sherry. His voice was late to drop.
Okay.
So he can't do that stuff anymore, but he was able to do that high falsetto stuff longer than most kids his age.
Yeah.
So he worked it to his advantage because at some point some kids made fun of him. They called him Mickey Mouse because his voice is so high like this.
Oh, it was terrible.
I know, but he was like, I'll show you. So he's saying,
good for him.
Yeah, turn it into an advantage. Absolutely.
So in fact, right now he's got the logo, the drama department hoodie.
Uh-huh.
And they put Sherry on the back.
So love it.
That's awesome.
Does your heart just fill with pride when you see
it? I knew what was coming. Before that happened, he was just in the regular chorus concert.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they had asked him last minute if he would sing a solo before the actual concert started. Or maybe it was him and another kid. I think it was just him. And it was the Christmas performance. So he sang White Christmas. And he brought the house down. And it was still, his voice was still, high and sweet and soft. You could tell, he was nervous about it. And we were just so proud of him. And then when we got in the car, we were walking through the parking lot. And he was just, oh, I never want to forget this feeling. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh.
Let me go ahead and get your autograph now.
He got bit. I'm like, it's all over, but the crying.
Has he actually performed with you guys at the Alabama Theater?
He hasn't, but he, you know, there have been seasons when he's watched it so much he could have. He's memorized every word, every step. Yeah. So not so much now because he's, you know, now he's got activities
probably
of
a little
his own,
too cool.
You know.
Some.
He's actually coming to the show tonight. He hasn't seen it yet this year. So he's coming tonight. So we're excited. But yeah, it's been a huge, I mean, I was, you know, in the show pregnant and during his first year, we had a babysitter that was, her job was transitioning. Long story short, we ended up having to bring him in to work with us like half the time. Mm-hmm. So we put a baby gate over the shower in the men's dressing room and he just lived there. Like we put some blankets down and toys. And so he literally has grown up in that place. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's hard because of the schedule that you guys have 6 days a week mm-hmm. and at nighttime. Mm-hmm. So you would have to have a babysitter or a nanny.
Well, we were very, very blessed. And now that he's, you know, almost 16, like we don't have a sitter anymore. Yeah. We have a nanny cam and they each have phones. So they know that we're watching. We've got a camera on the Quest, all the video games upstairs. Uh-huh. So we know if they're doing homework or not. But we had the same sitter, nanny, whatever you want to call her, for about 10 years. I mean, she came every single night. As soon as he had his first birthday, we met her. She started watching him. And then after, you know, we had Brady, she was pregnant the same time that I was. So we had her own pack and play for her daughter.
I love it.
And so they grew up together. And yeah, it was the absolute best case scenario because it was that continuity of care that we couldn't have had if we mm-hmm. would have had a different babysitter every week or every month, you know.
And that's stressing, you know, your child.
And
she was wonderful.
Like she was a former EMT. So she was like trained in emergency medicine, you know, a mother herself and very much, she was a chef. Like she was a phenomenal cook. So she'd made dinner if we didn't get to it. Okay. I'd come back with the dishes washed. And then, you know, she'd be like, yeah, we had to have a talk about such and such. You know, she would not one of those just to make sure they didn't get hurt. Like she disciplined them and loved them. And we could not have done it any other way. Like I would have been so, you know, because I think that mom guilt's always there.
Of course.
You have a job, you always
talk about this all the time.
I'm not doing enough here. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing enough there. And so I ended up leaving the theater in 2015 to start my own business because when they were babies, it was like, oh my gosh, I get to spend all day with them. You know, we'd have to leave work at 6. I'd only miss, you know, dinner time.
Yeah.
Right.
And I still got to do nap time. So that kind of felt like bedtime. And it was a lot easier. I'm like, it's easier that I still get to spend the day with them. Once they started in school, I'm like, oh, okay, I don't see them as much. And then when they were both in school, I'm like, wait a minute, you know, so I started looking for ways to have just a more flexible job. So I started a wedding planning business. And then I started to work 12-hour days instead of 4-hour days.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it was flexible. Yeah. So I could be there with them. And I kind of, you know, tried to make up for lost time. But then that pull of like, oh, my gosh.
I have this client
who is expecting me to be there for this meeting or for this special event. Or she's, you know, her parents have taken out a second mortgage to pay for this wedding. And I'm in charge of this giant budget. And, you know, so there was so much of that.
Yeah.
I felt it even more so because I'm like, no, I can't bring my kids in to work with me anymore if I had to. You know, I can't be like, oh, yeah, this is my 2-year-old.
Yeah.
He won't make a lot of noise.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
He won't destroy the place.
So how long did you do that?
Well, I did that until 2020.
Okay.
I did
last wedding,
February 2020. But in the meantime, I was kind of the go-to swing person because I was, you know, I would have seasons where it wasn't that busy.
Mm-hmm.
So 2017 is actually the only year I wasn't at the theater in some capacity.
Okay.
I like filled in for a couple weeks or a month or, you know, here and there. So I was still kind of had a foot in the door and my husband was still there, of course.
Yeah.
But when I look back now on the other side of it and say those some really formative years for them and we were able to do, you know, I mean, the fact that I had nighttimes free for the first time ever, I was like, let's go have pizza on the beach because we can, you know,
exactly.
And I was like, oh my gosh, it's dusk, you know, because we get nighttime and I was like, look, the sun's setting. And we just go sit outside, you know, just to watch it sit in the hammock. So, you know, it was great because I was so much more intentional about our time together coming off of a season where I didn't get to choose my schedule, you know, choose my daily schedule or so. So that was, I was so grateful to do that. And then I did my last wedding, February 2020, and I had, Allison had taken maternity leave the Christmas before. So she was like, it's funny because I had actually had her assist me for a wedding in May. and it was one of those, like, so unseasonably hot, like, way earlier than it's usually hot. And she was, like, just green. And she was like, I don't feel good. I was like, are you okay? She's like, well, I wasn't going to tell anybody, but I'm pregnant. She's like, so I got to go. And do you want to do the Christmas show for me?
By the way, mark your calendar now.
I was like, actually. So that worked out. So I filled in for her 2019. And while I was there, another girl announced she was leaving. Then another girl announced she was leaving. And I was like, well, you know, I had decided that I needed to take a break from weddings because I wasn't making the money that I needed to make. I was not having the time that I thought that I would have because you're, you know, if you run a business, you're everything.
You're
sales,
everything.
You're marketing, correct. You're front of house, back of house, you know. And so though that I was able to work from home, it was still the bandwidth, like the brain space that I could not give to my kids.
You couldn't shut it off.
I couldn't.
It wasn't a true 9 to 5.
I had to, like, you know, we got rid of our guest room. That was my home office and the door was shut. So they're like, we can't, mommy's not available right now because I might be on a client call. I might be on a Zoom call, something like that. So I still didn't feel like I was really there for them like I wanted to be. And just kind of not knowing what to do next. And I was like, well, all these other, the doors are opening back here. So let me just kind of fill in for these people while they're gone. And then COVID happened. And I'm like, well, now what? I don't know. No one's getting, you know, weddings are happening. So that kind of just got me back there. And I was like, gosh, I really, really do miss this. You know, it was kind of like, oh, my old coat.
Well, that's something that you have passion
for. You know, the show's new now, so it's so much more exciting because the show didn't change much the past couple years. And prior to that, when I had left, I mean, we, you know, the like, for example, the finale hadn't changed at all. So I sang the first song of the finale, This Land Is Your Land, and I counted, I think I did it over 1,000 times. You know, that's so
After something that you've been doing for so long that it's just that, like, repeat button, you probably, it's just, not to say it gets boring, but it's kind
you
of like,
you can say that.
That's the one thing.
Groceries. What am I going to eat when I get home? Let's get homework due. Yeah.
While you're start to belting out like the song.
you kind of go into, you know, an autopilot, and, you know, I'm a pro at, like, yawn. You have no idea I'm yawning. Like, I can yawn and you on stage, you have no idea.
That's a good talent to have. That's a really good talent.
You guys do have all different age groups that come to see you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people might not be as engaging or, 100%. You know, enjoying, not anything against the performers, more on the lines of whether it's a little late or they're older.
They I can tell that there's more of a generation of TV watchers or people on their phone because they may look at us with this, like, dead face all night. And then at the end, you just bless my heart. Oh, my God. And they just loved it. Yeah. They don't have no idea because they don't react to
TV.
People just don't see live theater as much as they once did, if ever. I don't know. But so it's funny because you'll just think that they're not liking it. And then at the end, they'll be like, oh, my gosh, that was wonderful. And still face not move, you know. So it's not always as it seems. So you just make the assumption that everyone's having the time of their life.
You have to, right? Yeah, exactly.
So you are a boy mom. Was there one thing that surprised you about parenthood, especially being a boy mom?
Oh, goodness. It's when I first became a mom, it was so cliche to say, oh, time flies by. Oh, time flies. And I'm like,
enjoy
yes,
every
I know it
moment.
Does. And now, I'm a researcher, I'm a reader, and I had all the books, you know, all the what to expect, you're expecting, and the weeks. And I'm like, today I formed fingernails. You know, I was up to every single day.
You knew
what
fruit,
happening.
What vegetable,
absolutely,
everything.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I have a lime today. And then I went into premature labor with Riley. So his due date was June 9th, and he came April 29th. And
oh my
I was
wow.
not prepared. The nursery was not prepared.
Who would be it? That?
Yeah, and I was mentally not prepared. So I remember, you know, I could speak an hour just about that, him being premature. When we were finally able to bring him home, I remembered this feeling like, what do I do? I needed to be given permission because in the hospital I was told when I could hold him, you know, through the through the box, you know, through the incubator. You know, you can't try to feed him now. He needed an IV through his head because his veins were
too small. Yeah.
So that was my first kind of foray into parenthood, was that I was given permission when I could do anything. And so I had sleep while they're sleeping. I was cramming my book, trying to finish my books. Like there was some kind of, you know, divine knowledge that would be imparted to me when I got to the end of all of the books. But there's no end to the books.
No, there's
by
not.
The way. And so I remember just, you know, breaking down and like trying so hard to nurse, and that just wasn't successful. And realizing that, oh my gosh, this book says you've got to build trust. You've got got to hold him and let him, you know, let him know that you're there. And this book says you've got to let him cry it out, and he's not going to learn. You've got to learn to self-soothe. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm saying everything. And so finally, I was just like, you know what? I just completely broke down. I was like, God gave this boy to me, and he gave me everything that I need to know to be his mom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there's something that, and I had the, I didn't have a video monitor, but I had a monitor that was specifically for preemies. So I had a pad that detected breathing that you put under the mattress.
Oh, okay.
So it beeped when they stopped breathing. And I remember this one time, I mean, I was like, you know, I would try to hold him. He would cry to feed, and I would hold him, and then he'd fall asleep and not feed. And so I would just I was going like, I felt like 5 days without sleep, you know, just as all new moms do. And I know he was crying, and I was talking to my mom. She's like, you've got to let him cry it out. You've got to let him cry it out. And I remember just sitting there just crying, going, I'm going to be tough. I'm going to be tough. I'm not going to go get him. And then finally he quieted down. I was like, okay, maybe this does work. And then I was like, he literally cried so hard that he stopped breathing. I ran in there. I picked him up, and I just am holding him bawling. And I'm just like, I'll never put you down again. I'll never, you know. And at that moment, I just, you know, had this sense of follow your gut.
Yes.
You, for some people, that is their advice, is to let them cry it out.
Yeah.
For some people, that is their advice, is to don't put that child down. But every baby is different, and you know what this baby needs.
Yeah.
So don't listen to any, you know, take everybody's advice with a grain of salt, including, you know, family members.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you trust your gut. You trust what this child needs. So his head was misshapen. I was holding him so long.
Oh, did you have to do the helmet?
We were very close. We didn't have to do the helmet.
Okay,
so
we had
I
the
held
helmet.
Him with my left arm and vacuumed with my right. Disinfected everything with my right. And finally to the doctor, they're like, well, he's gaining weight. He looks good. But man, his head's flat on that one side. I was like, oh, that's my fault.
Oops.
I should have switched arms, but I can't do anything like this.
Did you have a stronger muscle on your...
Yeah, right? Yeah. So that was my biggest lesson is that, you know, all of these books, all of the advice, and I have not... The most parenting advice I've gotten is from people who don't have children.
Of course.
I always have, you know, great ideas of what you should do. So I'm like, you have every... That's what I would tell all new moms. Number one, you have everything you need to take care of this baby. Number two, you know, everybody is well-meaning, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But you don't have to have everything perfect. Mm-hmm. You're not going to screw this kid up if you give him the wrong kind of bananas. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, is that everything's gotten, you know, so extra. All you have to do right now is survive. Mm-hmm. That is all you have to do, is get through this. And don't worry if you have a perfect balloon arch for their first birthday. You know, things have so gotten extra. And I think the demand on women to be the perfect moms and the perfect employees and the perfect everything, because one of the reasons I think is social media, where you see everybody's highlight reel and you don't get the real stuff. You don't have someone going, I had a booger wall that I had to spackle over.
Right.
I couldn't clean it. Or somebody saying, you know, I was a mess. I can't tell you the last time I took a shower.
Yeah.
Little fingertips under the, you know, so it's really hard. And to try to pretend like, you know, hashtag blessed, killing it. I'm just like, that, you don't do anybody any favors by making it look so easy or being dishonest. And maybe some people do have it easy. You know, you see celebrities, they're like, parenting is so hard, and they've got two nannies.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, exactly.
And no job. I'm like, okay.
Okay, yes.
I don't know how much I buy your advice.
Yeah.
So, I would say that was the biggest thing that threw me for a loop, was that, you know, other people are so well-meaning, but every parent is different and every child is different. And then what I said, like how fast it goes, how fast. Because it is really, when they're little and every situation in life, I think, is harder without sleep.
Yeah.
No matter what, if you're a student, if you're, you know, cramming for this big presentation at work, whatever it is, you lose all sense of perspective. And so if I could go back to that sleep-deprived person, be like, you're going to be okay. You're going to, you know, you're going to make it. It's going to be fine. All you have to do is just get through this and don't worry. To be very, very honest, I still haven't finished their baby books.
The first one, I'll tell you, that's done, like just his first maybe few weeks or few months.
Yeah.
But the second one, I didn't even start it.
Yeah. I had like an online, not like a caring bridge, but like he was in the hospital for so long. So many relatives and friends were like, how's Riley today? How's Riley? So I kept everything online. It was something that was, it's called About My Baby. It's like defunct now, but it was where you could put a birth announcement as well as update people on the how, you know, their progress, whatever. And because he was so, so skinny and so tiny, but And now this time I did listen to my mom. She was like, "You've got to start giving them formula. You've got to supplement."
I'm
like,
yes. "No, I'm a failure."
Well, you feel as a woman that you are
a total failure. Yeah. I'm like, "This, I had one job."
Right.
That pressure
grow
is
this,
so intense.
It is
so hard.
So intense.
Yeah. It's hard. And so I finally, you know, I was like, "Okay, you're right. I need to." And he went from the second percentile for height and weight to the 98th.
Oh, wow.
By the time he was 4 months old.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Know, yeah.
But you know, we need more people that are like you. I had the same experience. I think Jen did too. Mm-hmm. We had to do formula, but the doctors and the nurses were adamant about the breastfeeding. And it almost made you feel just like a terrible human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's hard.
So
there's so much pressure.
Is. There's so much pressure.
If I could tell new moms or any moms, it's just like you can have it all, but not at the same time.
Right.
And that's okay. And I remember I saw this video and it was a moment that I was – you know, I'm like, oh, I need to grow my reach and I need to get more followers and likes for my business, you mm-hmm. know, social media accounts and blah, 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 blah. This is when I was doing weddings. And I saw, I've looked for it and I can't find her name or I'd give her credit. But she was a CEO of a very successful but smallish business. Mm-hmm. And she was giving like a keynote speech somewhere. She said, "You cannot have it all at the same time. And anybody who tells you that you can, they're fooling themselves mm-hmm. or they're trying to fool you." She said, "Once someone told me that and gave me that permission, that it was okay to succeed at my job, but know that there are going to be some things at home that don't get, you may not have been able to oversee that homework project. Mm-hmm. You may have mm-hmm. missed that soccer game, you know, but so you're killing it at work and that's great. Maybe you're providing jobs for other people, but if you're at home and maybe, you know, you have a sick child and they're just like, mommy, don't leave, you know, and you just say, I have to cancel on this very important client. And that may have meant huge things for your business, but you had to make that tough decision. You know, I feel like we do ourselves so much, you know, discredit mm-hmm. by trying to pretend that, you know, you see, you know, like social media or like clips and magazine articles, whatever, you know, ways to juggle it all.
Yeah.
And I want to see more things going, it's okay if you don't juggle
yeah.
it all.
Yes.
And it's okay to fail.
It's mm-hmm. okay to fail. Yeah. Because guess what? Those clients will find somebody else or that business will find another employee and your kids have no other mother.
Exactly.
You are it. You know, maybe they have a bonus mom, but you don't want that person to pick up the slack where
no.
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah.
And, you know, we are the nurturers and I think we need to go, you know, swing a little bit back in the other direction to that mentality. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. I forget who said that.
That's a beautiful quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hand that rocks the cradle. So if people say, well, I want to feel empowered. Well, how much power is that? We have the most important job on earth. We're
yes.
raising tomorrow.
Right.
Those mm-hmm. are the people who are entrusted to our care. And I'm glad that men are so much more involved now. Mm-hmm. You know, they are in the birthing room with us. They're not in the lobby passing out cigars. They're yeah. much yeah. more involved. And I'm very blessed that,
or even
you know,
changing diapers and mm-hmm. helping taking them to sports
yes.
events or to school or helping
absolutely.
With homework.
Absolutely, juggling all that. And
yeah.
I'm very blessed because, you know, my husband and I have the same job. We pretty much, even Steven, like divide a lot of things
divide
right down
conquer.
The middle. And it's still hard for me to do. Our jobs literally, like the time there is roughly 4 hours a day. And that would be a schedule that most people killed for. But even though he and I split duties and I'm not there 8 hours, it's still really hard to manage everything. And
absolutely.
I can't tell you that I have a lot of downtime. I mean, it's very, very, you know, very little. So we work at night, we're night owls, but that alarm goes off at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
We're taking to school.
Exactly.
We gotta make sure they're dressed and they're
ready
no,
to
I
go.
Have, you know,
the cowlicks everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a realization. We were actually talking about this last night, laying in bed. And, you know, our alarm goes off at 5:30 in the morning.
Ooh.
And work doesn't start till 8:30. So I've had a 3-hour day already before
absolutely.
I even get into work. And I was like, holy moly.
Yeah.
That's a good portion of your day
yeah,
before
absolutely.
You even start your work day.
Absolutely. And
mine goes
think,
off at 5:10.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, man.
But my kids are in elementary school, so they have to be there.
It's early.
Between
it's so early.
7:15.
Yeah.
For
and you might
start.
Have to battle car line traffic. The car
yep.
line is a whole other. We could have an hour of talking about the car line.
My boys and I, we actually have car line conversations.
I love
and
it.
And it is the funniest things to very serious topics or, you know, or if we actually are on time, like in making really great time and we get there within, you know, it only takes about 5 to 10 minutes to get to school. They're like, Mama, we didn't actually have car line conversations because it was not that many people on the road. What are we going to do?
I love it.
Because they love to talk
that's
about.
That's great. Those
yeah.
are the things that they'll remember, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I used
absolutely.
To do affirmations when they were both in elementary school. And I'll throw one out every now and then to the groans of the car. But I used to say, you know, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. I will be helpful to my teacher. I'll be a friend to the friendless. I will love learning. Like I used to have go through these things and then, at the, you know, and they'd repeat after me. And then and I'd be like, it's going to be a great day. It might even be. And then we do together, the best day yet.
Yeah,
and so, but now when I try to do it, they're like, oh, mom. But they'll remember that. I'm like, that's okay. You can think I'm corny.
Yeah, but no.
I have a feeling they'll probably use that at some point in their life with their own kids, hopefully, right?
Exactly. It's a good thing, too.
Shannon and I had such a great time chatting with Christine. We just had to keep the conversation going.
Yeah, Christine had so much great insight. And of course, let's be honest, we did have a lot of fun with her.
Yes. Of course, as we always do. But join us next week as we share part two of the episode, hearing from the amazing performer, entrepreneur, and of course, mom.
Yay.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Myrtle Moms with Margaritas will be back next week with a new episode that you don't want to miss.
Because if you look at the time commitment of parenting, it is its own
full-time job.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a job nobody pays you for, but you know, you get paid in
love.
Hugs and kisses.
Lots of memories.
But it's, you know, you're expected to be, you know, and I think I had shared this earlier, we're expected to parent like we have no jobs. We're expected to work like we have no kids.
Be sure to listen to the next episode.
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina is the beach. Here, you're free to be your best self because Myrtle Beach is 60 miles made for you. You belong at the beach.
Beach easy.